into episode 235 of the Overseas Connection, the official podcast of the G4TE.com community. That is gaming for the elderly. And today is September 10th, 2013. And I am just one of your humble hosts today, Greg DeLacy, Gamertag Murphy's Law, kind of everywhere. Joining me this week, Mr. Mike Chin.
Hello.
Hello, Mike.
Are you recording, Greg?
I am recording, Mike.
All right, I was just making sure. Hello, everyone.
It's okay.
I'm pretty tired, Greg.
Yeah?
Long day at work today.
Long day at work. Are you still recovering from the huge birthday celebrations that that you had all last week?
Not really. last week was a big week for me.
I had the
filming on the Wednesday.
Yeah, and then finally turned 16.
Yeah, I turned 28 on the Tuesday, filming on the Wednesday, and then on the Friday I graduated from my master's degree.
Congratulations, Mike.
Thank you very much. I got a distinction in...
You are SM Art.
Yeah, whatever that is. I got a distinction in contemporary media, which basically means, well, I don't know, anything to do with media, really.
Okay.
So I did that, and then something happened on Saturday. I had a kids' party on Saturday, and today...
You got engaged?
No, we've been moving office as well all last week. Last week was an office move, so we completely moved office.
That's right, I forgot. You did that back in Italy.
Yeah, that's funny. You're a funny guy. today we had to go to work.
moving.
Yeah, we had to go to London today to do some filming.
Okay.
We filmed a guy called Jeff Stelling.
Controversial.
Jeff Stelling. Uh-oh. I don't know really who he is, which is why I didn't really give a shit about telling him what to do. But he, the Sky Sports is a thing over here. You've heard of Sky, right, Greg?
Sure.
They've got a sports channel, Sky Sports, pretty big deal. Okay. And Jeff Stelling. He's quite popular. He's very well liked mainly because he's just comes across as a very nice guy, and he always seems to have it's like a light-hearted kind of soccer Saturday, I think is what he does. We had to film in, and I was the guy in charge, and like I've got Jeff's looking at me like I've got to tell him everything to do. I've got a makeup woman. And I've never, like, I don't, she's like, what kind of look do you want? I don't know. Just make him look like he's not dead. And then I got a photographer and a crew and an MD of the company that we're trying to do this for. And then we got the guy who had he's in charge of all the rights for the Premier League football clubs in the country. And he's there, and I'm like, fucking hell. And then he's telling me, like, he's asking me what to do. I'm like, you should know. I had a bit of a weird day, really, because I was in charge, but I was surrounded by a lot of people that I kind of consider would be peers to me.
Right.
But I had the floor, so it kind of went well. It did go well. It was a rocky start, but it went well later on. And Jeff was even though I don't really know him, and I don't really watch what he does, he did
consider my friend now.
Yeah, he's a very nice man. He was very polite, very, very. He was a pro on the camera, though, Greg. I'll give him that. And he did. There's a show over in England called Countdown. It's a very famous show, and it was the first show that Channel 4 ever aired. And when the host of Countdown died, they replaced it with Jeff Stelling, and that's kind of where I know him from. So yeah, he's a very well liked man, and there's a reason for it. So that was my day today.
Okay.
And I was dreading it, to be honest.
You came through it unscathed, and it sounds like it was a good day.
Yeah, yeah. My brother described it as like I'm like a duck on the top. I was very calm and cool, but underneath I was paddling and going crazy like a motherfucker. So
I like that.
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt. And that was my day today. So tomorrow, the rest of the week, he's editing, so I'm happy with that. I'm happy when I'm in the office just editing. So I got no one bothering me.
Okay, excellent, Mike.
I thought I'd give you a back, and that's why I had to get up at 4 o'clock. No, 3 o'clock in the morning this morning. So I've almost been up 24 hours, so I'm a little bit tired. A little bit tired.
Right. Was that a yawn, sneeze?
No, that was a hiccup. Like a bit of a hiccup. So I'm okay.
I wouldn't have guessed the hiccup, but okay.
Yep.
All right, Mr. Primrose, you mentioned controversy.
Oh no, nothing. Move on.
Oh, okay. No. Well, let's introduce you, Rich. You're on the show, Richard Primrose.
Hi. Here. Hi.
I almost forgot we had to introduce you still.
Yeah.
Yeah. My gaming's evolutionized sideways. That's all I'm saying.
Yes. Yes, it has. I've been getting updates regularly from you at odd hours in the morning, which I appreciate.
Telling me about.
I realize that, Mike. I realize that. But no, I'm excited to hear about more PS3 love, Rich.
I've got a cucumber in my rucksack.
Wow. not on the show this week, Mr. Christopher Matthew. He is not with us this week, but rumor has it he will be back next week.
Dun, dun, dun.
Let's just, just do what we do and talk about games. Mike, I see you've been playing this game called Not A Lot.
Yeah, it's a new game on the Xbox Live Arcade. It's fantastic. You don't have to do a lot, really. In fact, you don't have to switch the Xbox on.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's the future.
Do you get invisible achievements for it?
Yes, you get as many achievements as you want in Not A Lot. you can just keep getting them.
Okay.
So, I haven't played it. Mainly because, last week was such a crazy week with the graduating. I got an iPad.
Well, that's something to talk about, Mike.
Yeah, and I think I'm going to game more on my iPad. So I've got games on my iPhone.
Right.
But I think I'm going to play games more on my iPad.
Now, I'll throw this out there. It would make far more sense to have games on your iPad versus your iPhone.
Yes.
Bigger surface area, a little more to, room to play with.
Yeah. So I did this yesterday. No, we recorded on Sunday for the Retro Games this week. But
okay.
I'm going to allow each one of you to give me a game to try on the iPad, whether I've got to buy it or not. But don't do what Duke did and say, all right, what's the most expensive app on the App Store?
I could do that to you because, I've heard great things about XCOM on the iPad, but I won't do that to you.
No, I've got XCOM, and I still need to kind of get to it, so I don't really want to buy it again.
I think Rich has the better idea.
I would counter your XCOM with a much cheaper option, which is Breach and Clear.
Okay. And there you go.
Incidentally, they've been tweeting, I think this week, that the big update's coming, where they unlock a lot more of the modes and stuff in it. So,
okay. Breach and Clear, Mike. Breach and Clear.
Breach and Clear. $149.
Yeah, it's a lot cheaper than XCOM.
Yes.
All right, I'm buying it now. Greg, you get one. What should I buy?
That was kind of what I was going to go for since I didn't want you to do that. But I won't say Breach and Clear. I don't really know a lot of iPhone games, though. That's probably the other hard part about this. You know what? You should download – it's free to play, Mike, so you'll like this. Plants vs. Zombies 2.
I've got that downloaded.
Well, damn it. Rich, help me out here. You iPhone.
Best game on the iPhone and the iPad. For anybody that likes Geometry Wars Evolved, Tilt to Live, it's just as good on the iPad. In fact, it's probably better.
That's not my game, though.
Yeah, alright.
Mike, Star Command.
Star Command.
I believe it's Star Command or Star Commander. It's one of the two. I'll look it up while we're chatting away here.
Okay.
But so what are your impressions of your iPad? When did you make the decision to get an iPad, by the way?
I got one for my graduation. My parents got it for me because I graduated. So I didn't buy one. I can't. Okay. I couldn't really justify an iPad for myself because it's such a leisure item. You know, a phone is a phone, right? So I need a phone, and I pay a little bit extra than I should, really. But I like the iPhone. It's probably the best phone I've ever had. So, great. I've got a MacBook Pro, where I can use that for work, and you know, I do a lot of video editing. Justify it, but an iPad, I don't really need to. Although today at work, I did use my iPad a lot because I downloaded a teleprompter app.
Yeah, you know, I use the iPad. I use my iPad at work a lot.
So I use
creeps into your life.
So the teleprompter app was what Jeff was reading off on my iPad today. So I did actually use it for work, but it's such a leisure. I mean, Matt uses his a lot for when we work, you know, making notes and stuff. So maybe I could have justified it a little bit, but you know, I am kind of like Steve Jobs' best friend at the moment because I've got just everything Apple.
Yes.
Yeah, I've turned completely to Apple.
So, you have.
You know, I mean, I've still got a PC, and I don't really mind them either. You know, I don't hate PC. It's just, I just kind of, it just all kind of works for me. So, yeah, I got it for the graduation. That's why I got it there, Greg.
Excellent. All right, Mike, Star Command, that is the game.
Right.
iOS.
Okay, Star Command. I'm going to find it now.
Yep. That's not the one that's meant to be like FTL, is it?
It's kind of like FTL.
No.
Star Command.
I got it.
Do it.
I played it. We talked about it.
I don't want to hear from you, Rich.
It's not very good.
Well, if he can play it for free, I think it's free to play.
It's $1.99.
I won't bother, mate. I only played it for about a week, and then I thought it was shit.
Greg, you get the phone today.
I won't do that to you. Go with the Geometry Wars. If Rich is literally giving it a, I don't think you would like.
No, don't go with the Geometry Wars because I've spoke to Mike about that before on the iPhone. I don't think he's that interested in it for some reason. But find something else.
All right, you know what? Come back to me later in the show, Mike. I will give you a different game to find.
Okay.
In the meantime, listeners are screaming different games into the, you know, into their different listening devices, saying, "Move on, idiots."
Breach and Clear won't go in. The folder. There you go. Right, so I've got Breach and Clear now. Cool. So I haven't been playing anything. I played one game of Halo Wars before the show. So I'm sure you don't want me to talk about that.
Did you win?
No, we lost. Me and Matt.
Well, this is what I want to hear.
We lost badly.
You lost badly. Was it a little rust setting in? Or was it...
It was kind of poor communication, I think. Like Matt kind of stormed in on a base at the bottom of the map, and I think he should have waited for me. But, you know, like, I went a different way, so maybe I took a little bit longer than I should have as well. So we should have planned it a little bit better. I think on both halves we messed up a little bit. And I think we could have took that base, and I think that was the turning point. And then after that, they just kind of trampled us. So, yeah, it wasn't. Maybe it is a bit of rust. We haven't played it for about a week and a half. So it's been a while. I just haven't played my Xbox at all. You know, I just don't. The only reason I've been turning my Xbox on at the moment is Netflix storage breaking bad. That's it. That's all it is. All
right. It is what it is. So. Mike, what about Asphalt 8 Airborne?
Is this a game?
It is a game.
Yes. Not so many.
Look that one up.
It's a racing game.
Asphalt, Asphalt, 8, Airborne.
Okay.
But you don't like racing games.
I'll give it a go.
All right. I think it is free to play. So.
69p.
Seriously, everything's expensive, you guys. I'm almost positive that was free to play in the U.S.
They normally start off free, don't they? And then they end up getting a price on them.
Oh, look, 69p, right, I'll just buy it, you know. Okay.
All right. It's done. I just made you lose 69p, sorry. all right, well, Mike, for me, it's been Splinter Cell Blacklist.
Yeah, is it good?
And I feel I love it. I honestly have been...
Oh, do you think I like it? I'm a big Conviction fan, so...
You are a big Conviction fan. You will love Splinter Cell Blacklist.
Yes.
It brings back all of the good elements of Conviction, and I think it fixes some of the broken elements that a lot of people complained about. I know a lot of people in Conviction kind of were like, stealth was destroyed, and it wasn't really a stealthy game. But in Splinter Cell Blacklist, you know, you're stealthing again, you're picking up bodies, you're hiding them. And, you know, we talked about this last week, Rich, I know, so, you know, I won't spend too much time on it again. But, I mean, it breaks it down. It kind of rewards you based on your different game style play. But ultimately, it doesn't matter. You know, whether you're playing as a ghost where you're not killing people at all and you're just evading detection, or you're stealthily killing them, or you're just straight up assault killing them, any form of combat or route you go will reward you with experience points that you can then use towards upgrading weapons and stuff. I really, really am enjoying the story, and they have some side missions. Some of them aren't the greatest, especially when they are kind of horde-ish, in that you have to fend off waves of enemies and kind of last for a certain amount of time. What I haven't figured out, it didn't dawn on me, to be perfectly honest, until it just happened. But I mean, you know, in the horde mode, and I guess you do, you have to kill off the enemies, and so you can either try and direct assault them, or you can do it a little more Panther style, where you're sneaking around and taking them out one by one. That is by far, I think, the most appropriate method, because when you try to take them on assault style, you tend not to last very long. You're not a bullet sponge by any stretch. But yeah, outside of that kind of mission, all of the other missions I've really actually enjoyed. I have yet to delve into any of the multiplayer stuff. It has been all single player stuff.
Well, is there a co-op campaign with it?
There is. Well, there's co-op missions. I believe there is a separate co-op campaign, but I know there are specifically co-op missions in the single player that you can go in and do. And maybe that's just it. Maybe they've just kind of funneled in the co-op missions in there. So it's not actually a separate campaign. It's part of the main campaign, but there are a bunch of missions you play co-op. And every once in a while and it's only on the side missions that you have the co-op option. And, when you can select, some of them will be co-op only. Some of them are solo or co-op. And what's interesting about the solo / co-op ones, if you go at it yourself, every once in a while, you'll come across an area like an area that you have to jump up to, or maybe a door that you have to somehow breach that actually requires co-op.
Okay.
It locks it out from you. But the way they do it is they have that, you know how they put that image of like, you know, who you're taking out type, how they used to display it up on the walls of a building or something. That will actually show up, and it kind of is like, you know, co-op partner needed.
Okay.
And it looks great. It's smooth. It feels like Splinter Cell. I mean, it is good.
Yeah.
And what I feel guilty about is that I've got Saints Row 4.
Wow.
And the Bureau XCOM sitting in
about the Bureau, mate.
I know. I'm not too chuffed about the Bureau, but Saints Row 4, I know everybody's been saying it's good.
Yeah.
And it's just sitting there waiting for me to play.
Yeah. Can I add in how shit Boomerang are, by the way?
I'm sorry, say it one more time.
Can I add in how shit Boomerang are?
No.
Love Film. Remember Love Film?
Love Film backlash has started.
Yes.
The power vacuum.
I did Boomerang. Which
right.
is like the same service, but they're not as slick as Love Film. They're just not as quick as them.
Okay.
It's really annoying. Because that's why I haven't really played anything, because I have a new to me, so, you know, what can I play? I just run out. Splinter Cell's at the top of my list, and then Saints Row. So.
And nothing's come so far?
Nothing. I've got like 20 games on my list. Bullshit.
That's a little frustrating.
There's only one game. There's only Fuse, and I can't play that because Marsh is in London. So I sent it back.
Hmm.
So I'm not impressed with Boomerang, to be honest. I'm a little store.
That's disappointing. So now, what's your other option if not Boomerang?
Buy them.
Okay.
That's it. Really.
I thought there was a second service though that was starting up that was going to carry. Was it Netflix that said they were going to start carrying games out there?
Maybe I don't know.
Hopefully, Boomerang will get their act together.
Maybe. It's not on now. Yeah. Not on Greg.
Yes, and this is where I would usually say, you know, let's chime into Rich. So I will say that let's chime into Rich. Rich.
Yeah.
Let's talk some PS3 love.
Yeah, I don't think the Skype call could take the impending amount of old games that I'm going to start talking about.
It was fearful. It's fearful. Skype is threatening to kill you.
Okay.
Based on how many games I'm seeing here.
Right. So I got a PlayStation 3. So the story of the PlayStation 3 story begin. So part of the deal is that the Xbox had to be unplugged and removed from the living room. And I've already sold one of the Xboxes. So the other Xbox, the good Xbox is going upstairs in James's room. So
got it.
He's happy as Larry now because he's walked away with a handful of. But I've got bags of Xbox games that are going. I'm just having complete clear out, like Greg was on about last week. They're all going to game. Probably going to form part of some Christmas fund for getting great James Skylanders or something like that, but don't tell him that. We've set the PlayStation up. So, first of all, setting up, like it. Really easy. I'd already got myself a PlayStation ID, so just hooked in the older details and stuff and got that all set up. And on the same day that we plugged it in, I did the PlayStation Plus thing because there was an offer. You get 3 months for free if you sign up for a year. So
now I thought, Rich, didn't you already sign up to PlayStation Plus before? Or
No.
You decided not to do that at the time.
No, all I did was I got the ID ready.
Okay.
I got my PlayStation ID ready, so I knew that I had School Duggara.
Gotcha.
And then just as soon as I hooked into this, by the way, came via Amazon, completely clear, wiped, plugged it in straight away. Only thing I didn't get was a lead for charging the joypad, but that's just a mini USB. So that was easy.
Right.
Set all that up. So let's just go through what I've got.
All right.
So you have quite the list of games that you got.
This is what I'm not playing at the minute, but this is what I've got, partly from signing up to PlayStation Plus and all that. So at the minute, I've got Assassin's Creed 3.
Yeah, fine, good.
Waiting to play. I've got Saints Row 3, waiting to play, because I never finished that on the Xbox, so I took advantage of that.
Right.
I've also got... what else... have I got off the online? I accidentally downloaded Stealth Inc. for the Vita, even though I had coffee. So I was getting used to some of that. And then I've got all of the other games that I've got waiting. So I've got God of War 3 lined up.
Right now, this is also part of your birthday bonanza.
Yeah. So we did. I got
your wife does love you. That's the bottom line. Your wife does love you.
There was a bundle deal thing on that game where you could get free games for the price of two. So she went in and basically got me Killzone 2, Killzone 3, and Heavy Rain. So
Heavy Rain.
Okay.
I told one of the lads at work that I got Killzone 2 and 3, and he says, "What the fucking hell you got that? I'll borrow them." And I'm like, "All right, okay." So the following day, even though my wife had rang me up while she was in the shop and confirmed what I wanted, I went in and took these back. And the guy that actually served me was the same guy that served Michelina. And he says, "I'm sure she was talking to someone in the phone when she got these." I guess, yeah, but it wasn't me. So
nice.
I blagged it and he let me swap it out. So I swapped that out for God of War 3 and Mirror's Edge.
Okay.
Right. And then also in the background, I've got Killzone 3 waiting. I've got Resistance 3 waiting as well. And Uncharted 1. So that's what I've got. What I'm trying to do, I don't want to start playing bits and bobs of loads of different games. So
right.
I'll tell you what I have played. Played a little bit of Killzone 2.
Okay.
We'll get onto controls and stuff to do with Heavy Rain, which have been very well publicised. But first thing I've got to say is, Killzone 2 has got the shittiest controls in the world ever.
Yeah.
It's absolutely terrible. And I went through all the different variations of what you can have and what you can't have. And there's just nothing that fits a normal template.
Human being.
Well, for a first-person shooter, it's just they've thrown logic out the window and just invented their own new fucking crap. Anyway, that was annoying. But I persevered, and I think I put about an hour into that. It was an enjoyable shooter. Like the gun noises and stuff, but as I say, the controls are doing me in. But I think I'll get round that. I'll have to get round it. I'm definitely not going online with it because I'll just get pwned at the minute until I get used to them.
Wasn't
controls.
That far online anyway?
Yeah. So put that one away. And the one that I was most excited to play, was Heavy Rain. So
okay, all right.
So I put Heavy Rain on.
Right.
Okay, Heavy Rain.
Yes,
talk about Heavy Rain.
I really like the look of Heavy Rain. I really like.
Yes.
I love the cinematography of it. It is shot like it's a film. It's brilliant. Some of the camera angles and stuff where they're doing stuff like taking the shot from just behind the corner of the bed and just letting the action play out in the background.
Excellent. In the shower.
Yeah, you've got them big scope, but we're not done on them.
And so far, Rich, you are spot on with, I think, what everybody has said about Heavy Rain.
Yeah.
It is visually fantastic.
Visually, it was stunning. And it's almost making me think that once I've played this, I need to play L.A. Noir because I just want to see what the comparison is between them two.
I don't know what's better.
Looks-wise and stuff. Okay, so controls. Okay, controls. I don't mind the controls so much until it gets to the point where you're doing stupid amounts of button presses and you've got to keep your fingers on the buttons. I know it's as if that's the only way that they can invent something that makes it seem like you're playing a game. Because there's nothing...
Right.
The cool things I've seen gameplay-wise, FBI guy with his gadget glasses and...
Yes.
Going around searching for clues. That, nice little interactive game. Love that. That was great. Hopefully, there might be a bit more of that coming into play, but I can't see it at the minute because I think I'm quite a fair bit through the game.
You know where the controls frustrated me the most?
Mm-hmm.
Was trying to go up the muddy hillside.
I've not done any. Yeah.
I can't remember loads of that game, but yeah. I remember. Yeah.
There's a moment, if you're playing the FBI guy, you probably have encountered it, but it was you had to walk up this muddy hillside, and for whatever reason, I kept fucking sliding back down, and it pissed me off to no end.
I think it did really well on me, but yeah, I know. Exactly.
I got past it, but that was the ultimate frustration moment for me with the controls.
For me, the bit that's annoyed me so far, and you got to bear in mind, right, I've just picked up a Sony controller. So what button is in what position is not ingrained in my brain.
Yeah.
I've got a mantra going on in my head all the time now, round for right, round for right, round for right. Because I'm all right with the X, I'm all right with the triangle. I've got them from when I was playing PS1. They're just ingrained in my brain. But the other two, there's just too much of... That's what's throwing me. And I'm finding like multiple encounters where I just do not come out the best. But I've not been killed or anything yet. I've heard that your characters can die and stuff, but none of them have died so far. Frustrating thing that I've had so far was at the power plant where you have to go through like the electricity waves and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Multiple battle presses. That was a pain in the arse. But that aside, overall, I'm really enjoying it. I've been that engrossed in the story. Sometimes I'm finding myself where it's playing itself out with the story, and I'm just sat there watching, going, "Why is nothing else happening?"
So you do realize
shit, I've got to move him.
Do you realize this
game's
shit, right?
What?
Say one more time, Mike.
You do realize that I think this game's shit.
Yeah, well, yes, I think a lot of people do, but I'm enjoying it.
I think a lot of people like it, to be honest. I feel like I'm in the minority, but I'm feeling
it's quite good as well as an introduction to going on different platforms and so on, because
you know what,
I've been out of touch with games as well, so it's been nice to get back into it by just playing something like this. It's quite easy going.
So, Rich, I'm curious to know. One of the parts of that game that I, for whatever reason, it like endeared me a little bit to Heavy Rain was, when you're kind of doing the chores and the just kind of the daily stuff, if you will.
Yeah.
With your son.
Yeah. But anything to do with the six axis, I thought was fucking stupid, but all of the stuff where you've got,
not control wise.
No, but you know, that whole thing where it's like introducing you to domestic life and stuff.
Right.
So you're just wandering around the house. That whole six-axis thing took me out of that whole experience. I thought it was brilliant to start off with, where you're getting up and just going in, learning how to hunt the wardrobe and just stuff like that. But that slightly took me out of it. The bit in the garden and so on, where you play fighting with your son and stuff.
That
was really good. I enjoyed that. I've got it. Loads of people bitch about the acting in this. I don't think the acting's that bad.
Origami.
It's not so much that it's bad. It was, I think, the accents. A lot of people.
The dialogue is worse. The dialogue.
The dialogue at times is bad, and he's supposed to be, well, he's supposed to be American, but clearly he has, a dialect that is not.
He seems to me no worse than what the guy was that played Alan Wake. That's all I'm saying. And the only thing, I'll address one thing, the classic, the whole Jason thing.
Yes.
I think
that is
whoever did the editing for the audio should have just realized that the first Jason was all right. It's the second Jason.
Yeah.
If you listen to the shouts, the first one's fine. There's no problem with it.
Jason.
They should have just used that.
Jason!
The one where he's almost singing. Just cut that one out. You'd be fine. It'd be no problem. You wouldn't. I think they did it. They just wanted some sort of cult status from that. But anyway, I'm liking it. I really do enjoy it. I've not encountered any flaws in the story either. Nothing controversial really happened in my story, but we'll probably see that later. A couple of points I did notice, and I made some notes of these actually, that were wrong, just not right. As far as the game was concerned, is you play a bit where you're going through the power station and you have to crawl over broken glass, yeah?
Right.
And to go through the right direction, you're following the wind with the matches. Anybody notice this?
I remember that.
The way the matches are blowing are wrong. So the flame's going to the right and you have to turn right.
Right, wouldn't be right,
because the wind would be coming from the left, so you'd want to be going to
the left. I get the impression that the air's being sucked out by the way out or something. That's what I thought.
It depends on how you're looking at it.
But he doesn't word it like that when he's explaining, you know, when he's having his own inner thoughts about, oh, if I do this, he's talking about the wind blowing the flame. So that's why I was looking at that and I was like, that don't feel right. Well, anyway, that was that bit. And then the other thing was, he goes to a golf range. Did you see that bit?
No, I did not. Go ahead.
I don't play golf, right? But he's at a golf range, yeah, and he's gone to see this guy and talk to him about his son because he suspects of him being the murderer. This is a detective guy, Shelby. So the guy invites him to take a few strokes and hit some balls at. The guy that's already at the range has got the correct club, and he is playing with a driver, yeah?
But the
detective guy pulls out what looks like a 7-iron and starts hitting balls down the range. Nobody would do that.
Yes, you can.
No, that's actually, yeah. No,
you could. But you wouldn't do that if somebody's coming in and they're saying, oh, come on, take a few shots and that. You pull out the same club as what they're doing to try and twat
it. Right, well, maybe you want to test his...
You always, typically speaking, you usually start with your smaller clubs and work your way up to your bigger clubs when you're at a range.
Yeah.
So.
Shows how much I know about fucking golf, though.
Yeah. That's the way I was taught from when I had lessons, so.
Okay. Yeah, so.
You increasingly lose control of your ball as you go to longer clubs. So if you start with your shorter clubs, you're going to have a little better feel for the ball.
Okay. That's me.
Anyway, all right.
That's me.
Balls.
Okay. Awesome.
So sidetrack off.
Yes, sidetrack.
Mobile devices. Picked up the Star Wars pinball because it was free. And I think Stuart from Veteran Gamers were tweeting it out. So I went and picked that up. That seemed very good. I like the way, because you used to play on a telly, and it always does that front-on landscape view when you're playing on a console. So you're more or less looking up the table from a low position. I like the way on this, where you can twist it to portrait, and you get the full view of the whole table and play it old school. So that was good. It's got the auto-rotate on it and so on. That was... Very good part of that. So, other than that, it's pinball. So, yeah, very good. And the other one I picked up, again, because of Stu Fowler, and then also one of the guys off, I believe it was Mojo, was... Just bear with me a second. I'm not going to be set. Hold on.
Bear with me. I think he has to go either find out what it was called, or he's being called away. But
Apologies.
Yeah,
I got invaded. What was that? I got invaded by Shih Tzus and the cats in the room. So there would have been
cats and Shih Tzus. There would have been a major fight.
Yeah, damn right.
Would the cats win or the Shih Tzu?
The cat would kick ass. But anyway, didn't want it to kick off. Yeah, and then the room. Pick the room up. So excellent puzzle game. Wicked. Really good. Well worth it. And the fact that the price has gone down, I can remember when I first saw this, I'm sure it was like between £2 and £4. But anyway, this is like the full version. It's got the epilogue, which is like extra content as well. So, and it's only 69p. So I snapped that up.
Okay.
That's brilliant. It's got some very clever use of, so it's sort of got a cult theme to it, along with, the old puzzle box, which I think Stuart talked about being a lot like what you'd see in Hellraiser or something like that. Yeah, it's like that, but it's got a lot of content to it. When you open a box, it's not necessarily the end. It'll lead you to another box, and you've got to carry on opening that. And it's got like a really cool use of this eyeglass. You get given an eyeglass, and by putting the eyeglass on, it sort of starts showing you 3D effects that you can use as puzzles. So you're tilting the iPad to rotate what looks like scrambled lines. And then if you turn them a certain way, you're getting digits and stuff. Very cool. Very cool puzzle game, that. Enjoying that.
This is the room?
Yeah, the room. So that's okay. I get up in the morning, have my cup of coffee, and have 20 minutes on that before I take kids to school. Great stuff.
Pinhead is going to appear any moment.
The what? Sorry to say that
Pinhead?
Again. Oh, Pinhead? Oh, yeah, Pinhead. Yeah. But there's
he's going to come out of your closet because you're messing with
that. There is small portions of it where you do get to see little videos. And they put me a lot in mind of the Japanese films. You know, like The Grudge and stuff like that. Yeah, and The Ring.
Freaky ass game. You know, The Grudge, as freaky as it was, and it was completely stupid, and I saw every little bit of it coming, but man, that still freaked me out.
Has anybody watched The Conjuring yet? Sidetracking.
No.
Yes.
No, I haven't watched it. I thought it's good.
Conjuring? Yes.
I enjoyed that. I thought it's good. Good film.
Yeah. Well, that's the one that's based off the true story. And
yeah,
and that's what I think really makes that even that much freakier when you stop and think about it. But yeah,
good film. All right, back onto games. Yeah, the one. So what I've done with the games on the PS3, I'm playing one that's like one that I can put loads of hours in when I've got a session of about 2 or 3 hours, and then the other one I've picked is something that I can pick up and play when I want, which is a full game, and that's Mirror's Edge. So I've been playing that. I could always remember Mirror's Edge from the Xbox. I really enjoyed the demo, but I wouldn't shell out for it at the time.
Right.
So I'm really glad that I picked this up, because it is such a cool game. You know, Portal aesthetics and the whole...
Right.
It's got a puzzle element to it as well in certain places. And I'm just loving the look of it. And the way that it's got... We spoke last couple of weeks, we spoke about animation in between playing the game. You know, like with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Right.
This has got animated cutscenes, but they work really well. They're in a comic book style, and I think they work really well. And I don't know if that's the style of the main game and how they complement each other. But, yeah, that's coming across really nice. But the game, the movement and everything, the control in this is, yeah, I ain't got anything bad to say about it. It's really, really fluid game. Nice to play. It is, you have got that element, it's almost like Super Meat Boy, where you will feel like a twat because you'll be missing jumps multiple times.
Yeah.
But once you pull it off and you do like a full run...
Yeah, I was going to say, if I recall, I think that the major faults with Mirror's Edge came into where the quote-unquote combat scenarios came into play.
Yeah, but
there's sort of bottlenecks in Mirror's Edge that kind of... Yeah, it just stopped the gameplay and you was like, this is not fun anymore.
Yeah, I got one point where I was doing... basically, after you've spoken to your sister, that it then goes into like a great chase scene. And a lot of that is that. It's you know, chase and then respite type thing all the time. And I've not seen that in the game. The only time I've had a similar experience is in Dead Space 2, where you've got that end sequence where you're just constantly running and you're shitting your pants. You've got that feeling, yeah, that fear in you whilst you're playing the game. This has got that in droves. It's just like doing that all the time, stop, start. Once you've got the authorities on you, then you're in... It's just a really refreshing, different way to play a game. And it's not, you know, there's no shooting involved with it. You've got no interest in picking up a gun. The only time I picked up a gun and needed to use it was like a sniper rifle when I wanted to take some of the snipers out. And I think that still was optional. I could have still just used my speed and agility to get through that. But, yeah, overall, I'm really enjoying that. But I did, like Mike says, I did have one frustrating sequence when I was doing that chase through away from the sister, where I basically fell down into an area where there was no exit unless you climbed your way out. But because the guys, the SWAT team, were so close, I was just constantly getting battered over and over again until I found a quick way of doing it. But it just got a bit frustrating, that. But overall, wicked game. Really, really like it.
Okay.
And then I'm just going to talk about one more game and nothing.
One more, Rich. One more.
No, two little games. Let me have two little games.
No, you said one. You said one.
One's a demo. One's a demo. One's a demo.
Go ahead, Rich.
The other one was one of the freebies that I got off PSN Plus. Yeah, Stealth Inc. And I don't think this was multi-platform. Has anybody heard of this?
I don't recall hearing about Stealth Inc. on Xbox Live, so I'm pretty sure that's exclusive to PSN. If not, for now.
This is a very nifty little 2D stealth, but in a good way stealth, not slow, sleek, sneaky stealth. It's like a cross between Super Meat Boy and Stealth. I think you might like this, Mike, because you like that Mark of the Ninja. So a lot of the mechanics in this are to do with shadows, and you can utilize things to give yourself shadows so that you don't trigger cameras and stuff. That you're like this little molecule type dude bloke, a clone dude, that's trying to escape this facility where he's been cloned from. And it's just multiple levels of platforming and stuff. But just really neat little game. And I sat there on a Saturday morning, probably had 2.5 hours on it, and it was great, yeah.
Is this by chance one of the PS3 minis?
Possibly.
Maybe that's where it came from.
It's a cross-platform game, so it's one of the ones where you can pick it up and you can play it on your Vita and then carry on with it on the PS3. But yeah, I like that.
Okay.
That's going to be my little pickup.
What was the name of that one again?
Stealth Inc.
It's got a little dude like off. He's off Despicable Me.
Okay.
And Rich, your last game.
Last game. I'll save this one for last because it is probably one of the prettiest games I've seen. And coming out of it, I thought it was just like what would be an Xbox Live Arcade game. So I was thinking, oh, this is just so good for a parking game, right? And I heard people talking about it at E3, and then I again heard people talking about it, I think it was at Gamescom as well. But it's Puppeteer. Yeah?
Right.
The Puppeteer, should I say.
Puppeteer. Isn't this a Vita game?
No, man. It's on PS3, man.
For some reason, I thought this was a Vita game.
It may be on the Vita as well. I'm not
sure. No, I may be completely wrong. So, anyway.
Yeah.
Continue on, Rich. Puppeteer.
So, it is set as the animation style is all as if you are looking at a little puppeteer's booth type thing, and then it just zooms into the screen and then starts playing out the story. So you are a kid who's had his soul taken away, and you're like been made into a puppet, and there's this guy who's the Beer King, they call him, and he's got these enchanted scissors. Which is all to do with obviously cutting material up and making puppets and all that lot. So a witch, who's his main rival, who lives in the same castle as him, she basically keeps sending children puppets to try and acquire these scissors because she wants them for herself to gain the power. And this is where the game begins. So the style of it is brilliant because it's telling the story. We've spoke about in the past... what's the game, the Castle Crashers people? They've just done one recently, and it's got wicked narration.
Behemoth?
Yes.
Battle Block Theatre,
and now that's got like a wicked narrator and stuff. This has got that in droves, but the look of the game is just so nice. The animation style. So you one of the mechanics in the game is you can pick up heads. If you're thinking along the lines of Little Big Planet, that sort of style, cutesy type characters.
But yeah, it does have a little bit of a Little Big Planet vibe. I'm looking at some screenshots of it right now.
Yeah. And
it's very vibrant.
Yeah. The color palette on it all the way through every bit of the demo that I played was brilliant. And the demo, incidentally, is really good length, probably about 30 minutes, 35 minutes or so. And it's just a brilliant intro into the game. So it takes you all the way through you making your way up to the castle and gaining these scissors. But whilst it's doing that, just introducing loads of different mechanics. So you can pick up multiple different heads. Each time you gain a head, if you press down on the D-pad, it will do something to that head. It will say like it's a spider. It will throw a spider head. You'll throw the spider out and it will start running around. And that can trigger you to get... like pickups, jewels and stuff that are in the world as you're playing. But whilst it's telling the story, you'll have like say the Beer King's getting angry upstairs at the top of the castle. And to just put the story across to you, he's got like a little sidekick and stuff. He'll start stomping on the floor and then all of a sudden the level from above will start crushing down on where you are. And you're just watching it as like a cutscene. And then you'll see the characters just above you and you're feeling like really claustrophobic and stuff. And it just enchanting. Really is a nice looking game. But the thing is, I came out of the demo at the end and I was thinking this was an arcade type title. And it was,
right.
It is a mid price range. It's like £25 over here. So what would that be? I think you're looking at, you know, probably a $40 game, would it be, in America? Something like that.
Right.
But yeah, if you've got a PS3 and you've not switched it on for a while, definitely worth checking out. Just to look at it. It's just a really nice looking game. And I think it's going to be a bit special. Because once you get them scissors as well, you then get another mechanic that gets involved where you can jump up and start cutting through material that's actually the play area. And that will help you traverse the level and stuff. So yeah, it looks like a really cool game. So hopefully that might come eventually free. or cheaper. Incidentally, Demon Souls, £7. Yeah. So that's me done. I'm done.
Okay.
Is that all?
I believe that is it. I believe we have exhausted Rich's games for the moment.
You best start playing some games, Gregors and Mike. Otherwise, it's going to turn into the PlayStation.
Apparently,
podcast.
Well, I've got two locked and loaded. I just need to pull the trigger. All right. I suppose we can talk about some new releases now.
Do it.
All right. So, new releases this week on the Wii U. You've got the wonderful 101 finally hitting retail shelves. Nothing for the 3DS this week. Moving over to the PS Triple, you've got Kingdom Hearts HD 1.5 Remix and NHL 14 and The Puppeteer. On PSN, there are several games coming for download. You've got Carnivores Dinosaur Hunter HD. No price that I've seen announced yet, but that is out there now. So, Rich, if you like dinosaur hunting, that might be one you want to check out. Dragon Fantasy Book 2, Hunter's Trophy 2 Australia, Mystic Heroes, NHL 14, Puppeteer, and Sanctum 2, all available for download right now. Moving over to the PS Vita, Killzone Mercenary comes out this week.
Killzone!
And PSN games for the Vita, you've got Dragon Fantasy Book 2 and Killzone Mercenary. Moving over to the Xbox 360, the lone retail shelf game this week, NHL 14. You've also got DuckTales Remastered coming out for Xbox Live Arcade. And Games on Demand, Dead or Alive 5 Ultimate, Killer is Dead, and Rayman Legends. Ooh. On PC and Mac, you've got Arclash Legacy, Amnesia, A Machine for Pigs, The Elder Scrolls Anthology, Huntsman the Orphanage, King of Fighters 13 Steam Edition, Legend of Dungeon, Paranormal, The Sims 3 Movie Stuff, Volgar the Viking, and finally, Zombie Drive HD Tropical Race Rage.
Catchy!
Yes. And that does it for your new releases.
Awesome.
Incidentally, played all the Jak and Daxter games as well. But I won't bore you with them. They're good.
Yeah. Jak and Daxter, they're very good games. All right, let's talk some headlines. We don't really have a lot to talk about this week, just from the standpoint of there wasn't a ton of different news out there, but there were some pretty big announcements. Basically, two that I pulled were from Sony. And that is the PS Vita TV. That's the biggest one on the list. And we're going to come back to this one because I know Rich.
I don't know
anything
about that story, so
I'll be here. I thought it was going to be The Last Guardian.
No, unfortunately, no. But you never know. There's still time. The Last Guardian could get announced, I suppose. PS Vita 2000 also was announced. And this is going to begin shipping in Japan on October 10th. No word on when it will be available elsewhere, but for those curious, the PS Vita 2000 is 20% lighter. It's 15% thinner than the current Vita. It comes with 1 gig of onboard storage now. It still does use the memory card slots though, so fear not, you still have to buy storage. The Vita 2000 does swap out Sony's proprietary charging data port for a standard micro USB port. So that's at least good news in case you lose that cable. You should be able to just use any old micro USB port to charge it. They haven't changed the resolution on the screen for the Vita 2000, but they did change the actual screen. So it's no longer the OLED screen. It is now an LCD screen.
Okay.
And last couple little nibbles. The battery life was improved by about an hour. So now it's basically rated 4 to 6 hours instead of 3 to 5. And,
a lot, is it an hour?
An hour could be a lot. It could be, you know. I think the bigger problem is the overall battery life of 4 to 6 hours isn't all that much, all things considered. Last but not least is the price, which in Japan at least is going to be coming out at 18,980 yen, which is approximately
$2.
No, 190 US, which makes me think that the Vita 2000 will probably release out at around 199 US. If and when it comes out to the
US.
So
what is it at the moment? Like the normal one?
Well, they just reduced the price on the regular Vita to $199.
Okay.
So, you know, it's a $200 price tag for the regular Vita. The new Vita should probably match that price tag, I'm assuming. You know, and the proprietary memory cards, they did reduce the costs on those, but I think the 32 gig is still right around like $78. I think I saw that was on Amazon. So you're still talking like $80 for a 32 gig memory card, which is a little high considering you can get a 32 gig memory card for probably about half that normally.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the PS Vita 2000, is this exciting? Is it not exciting? I mean, I don't know if anybody really.
What does it do? You know.
It plays Vita games.
Yeah. Nothing different.
It's a Vita. You know, I think the Vita has a potential to be, let me just put it this way. I think Sony potentially can turn things around for the Vita. Specifically as they're dropping the price down, the integration with the PS4 is smart, with the remote play. You know, they get these prices down. This really could become a really nice bundled package. I think they're almost there. They're still a little far away in terms of pricing, but the value proposition is getting close.
Yeah.
Close to the point that I think people would be willing to say, you know what, I'd do that bundle.
Maybe.
Yeah. So,
I'm not tempted myself. Yeah, I don't know about you, Greg, but I'm not bothered.
I'm not tempted at the moment, but I'm telling you, as it comes down under $199, it definitely becomes more tempting.
Okay,
Now this one, you know, piece of news didn't to me seem terribly interesting, but I know to Mr. Richard Primrose, he's very excited about this, and that's PS Vita TV. So, So it's kind of hard to describe at first. When I first tried describing it, I did a horrible job of it. It's basically the internals of a PS Vita wrapped in a case. For lack of a better way to put it. That's the very general broad stroke, but it does a lot more than just that.
Okay.
So bear with me, Rich. You can correct me as we go. But it hooks up to your TV. Yeah. I know. It hooks up to your TV, and the console by itself, just so we can get pricing out of the way, the small console, and it's a smaller probably form factor than the actual Vita itself. But it just looks like kind of a, you know, an almost oval box, you know, similar to like a Roku box, if you will. It's $100. And then if you want to get it with the, a DualShock 3 controller and an 8 gig memory card, it's $150. And these are approximate costs because this is launching in Japan on November 14th first. They haven't revealed when it would come out elsewhere, but those are the equivalent prices, at least US dollar wise. So, I'm just going to go down this list of the things that I have here because, God knows this will do a better job of describing what it can do versus what I can do, say. So it does support Bluetooth, the original PS Vita supported Bluetooth, but not the human interface devices like keyboard, that kind of thing. The PS Vita TV adds human interface device support. So it will be possible to connect Bluetooth keyboards and other devices to the PS Vita TV. You know, they talk about the white color being chosen because they wanted to target people that had never had contact with the PlayStation brand, and they wanted a soft image for the device. And yeah, I kind of get that. It's very Apple-esque when you look at it, being all white. I think I would have preferred it coming out in black, to be very honest, just because this seems like something that would sit near or in an entertainment center. It says the PS Vita TV is not designed to be specialized on PS Vita games. PSP and PS1 titles, PlayStation Plus video services, and PS4 remote player are also important to its strategy. So it can do, quote-unquote, all of these things, which is play PS Vita games, play PSP and PS1 titles via the PSN network, and PlayStation Plus titles, of course. It also is going to be offering up video services like a Netflix or a Hulu. I think Hulu was the very first one they announced. That was their kind of the big partner out of it. And then PS4 Remote Play, which this is a real interesting piece of it. This would allow the PS Vita TV to basically broadcast your PS4 that's maybe hooked up to your living room TV. You'd be able to broadcast what you're playing or be able to play that PS4 on a different TV.
Right.
Did I say that correctly?
I think I did. Yeah, I think so. It's like a streaming device.
Yeah. So it basically, exactly. It's kind of like a sling box, if you will, for the PlayStation 4. So I'm guessing you would simply just do like a Wi-Fi connect and turn on the PlayStation 4, and then you'll be able to remote play in a different room on a different TV with the device. It doesn't have DualShock 4 support yet, but they did say that is coming. Let's see what else. I think that kind of is, for the most part, it. I may be missing some little niggles, but Rich, we talked about this beforehand, and I know I was a little poo-poo on it. And as we were talking, and you were describing how, you know, the way you were seeing it working in your life. I do admit I came around a little bit in terms of its usefulness and how good it could be in terms of integrating in with other devices and just kind of in that PlayStation network of devices.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that struck me is there is like a little niche market at the minute forming, especially over here, like secondhand market for things like Apple TV, you know, with this whole hacked arena and stuff,
right,
and Raspberry Pis that people are connecting up to the TV and stuff like that. There's a lot of people that are going out and seeking out getting media into various rooms in their house at the cheapest possible price. Personally, for me, I always see older consoles and so on as being devices that can easily go into the children's bedrooms. So like at the minute, my middle daughter will have a PS2, which she can play DVDs on. And she'll have the odd game of Kingdom Hearts on it, maybe, in between watching Disney TV and all of that lot. So to have these secondary boxes, and I think Gabe Newell started talking about this probably about a year or so back, where he was saying that things like Gaikai and OnLive weren't the way forward. The way forward was to basically fire the signal off from your PC that's in your home and have these little $99 boxes. Well, this is what Sony's doing. They are doing that
right
now. And I think if they nail it and it works and they integrate it well with the... They've got a nice little ecosystem that they're building up with this, the Vita and everything. If they can pull it off and they can get everything done with, the biggest thing for me that I can see is the whole network thing. Setting up this network right to obviously cope with the amount of additional subscribers they're going to get, because it looks like there's going to be a shit ton of them at the minute. If they can do that, then having these peripheral devices that you can send out in your house. For me, I mean, I've got 3 children. I could quite easily pop for one of these to try it out, and then if it works, then I'd be looking to get more. I'm less and less inclined to be looking at things like Sky Movies, and we was talking about this at work the other day. I could happily sort myself out solutions to get my TV, my Netflix and all of that lot put into all of the rooms that I needed to in the house and not be paying a monthly subscription apart from what I would pay for a yearly subscription for your gaming or whatever.
Right.
So it's a massive growth market, this. I mean, there's a recent... Only today that there was a deal announced with Netflix actually going through Virgin. And I think Virgin have shot themselves in the foot with this. They've done a deal, I think it was, and it's shot the share prices up of Netflix, where they're going to offer Netflix built into the Virgin service. But for me, I'd be worried if I was Virgin, because people are going to be seeing that they can get this for £5 a month. And if they start using that Netflix all the time on this cable box and recording stuff or streaming stuff just straight through it, then things are changing, man.
No, they definitely are. And it is a very interesting time. I mean,
you've got to start thinking differently about how you organize all this stuff as well. I mean, I can see some of these little boxes, and you've got it as well. Google's got that little dongle thing coming out as well, haven't they?
That dongle thing is not... That's Google TV. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so there's a couple things. And I listened to another tech show, podcast, or they really talk more about just tech versus, you know, gaming related, stuff. And the interesting thing about this, it's an emerging market, but nobody seems to quite know how or the best way to.
It's always the case, though. Like, it's always, yeah. You know.
Because, I mean, if you think about it, we've got smart TVs that have Netflix and stuff built into it. So this is competing, you know, this is an interesting device in terms of, I think, what it does. To me, I think where this has a potential to be a huge success is exactly what you were talking about, Rich, which is streaming the PlayStation 4 into another room and just having, you know, having it be able to push that out to another room or play in the original room. You know, you see, you're getting multiple TVs hooked up to the one console. That is where I see something like this having success. Netflix and things of that nature in terms of streaming TV, and streaming, movie providers. Man, there are so many different devices out there doing that stuff. I don't think any one device is going to be successful capturing that market because everybody's doing it.
I have trouble kind of trusting PlayStation because they always have good ideas on paper, right? And, you know, they've got a good console on the PS4 that's great, but they've got a rough track record, man. You know, so all this, you know, like linking up the streaming and everything, I don't know if they can pull it off. Like, sometimes their software lets them down. That's just their history, you know? Maybe they've sorted it out.
But well, I mean,
the proof's in the pudding is what I'm saying. It's like, I won't really kind of go for the hype until people start talking and saying, yes, it actually works and I use it perfectly, you know?
Yeah, and Rich, I know I gave you a little crap and very much kind of in the same line with what Mike was just saying. And I think largely in part that was because of the experiences I'd heard a lot of people talking about the quote unquote remote play with the Vita and the PlayStation 3, which, you know, in reality is remote play has been less than stellar, with the Vita hooking up to a PlayStation 3 and utilizing it that way. That said, PlayStation 4 is a much more powerful system.
Yeah.
You know.
It's like the same sort of difference you would have probably thought about the PS2 playing online games. Yeah. And then you jump you add from that from there to a PS3. Now you've got the PS3 to the PS4. This is like, I mean, I know we've bitched and moaned about the Microsoft and how they presented it, but, and I know what we're talking about with you can get Netflix on your telly, you can get Netflix on your console, you can get it on your laptop.
I get Netflix on my goddamn phone.
Exactly.
I mean, it is everywhere.
Exactly. But the key thing with this, Greg, and this is what Microsoft knew, yeah, and I think Sony knew it, but they just didn't want to shout it out loud because they thought they might get some backlash, and lo and behold, look what happened to Microsoft. But you've got to look at pulling all of these content, these bits of content together. And if you can get the people to use that one box, the key thing for me is control of any of these. Sony have got the content. they've got the media. You look at how many films, music, all of that. They've got that all there ready. And you've seen Microsoft have been building up that content as well over the, you know, the past 7 years while they've been getting, this is what it's all building up to. I think the key mm-hmm. thing for all of this is going to be the control of it. You want a device that you know, my mum downstairs who's 60 odd years old, she don't want to be knowing how to pick a joypad up and control something. She wants to be able to get a tablet like she can do with a cable provider, look at a guide for the TV or the films that are available, press the button and it comes on television. Now, whoever gets that down, whether it be with Microsoft with their smart glass or Sony with not necessarily the Vita, because they're also having tablet integration with games as well, from what I understand. So getting that nailed is the key to all of this. So be interesting. The next couple of years are going to be massive. I'm glad I've gone I'm glad I've gone sideways, because I want to see how all of these services pan out over the next 12 months.
It is definitely an amazing evolution we're watching happening. And really, it is the evolution of always connected.
Yeah.
And as much as people bitched about it with the consoles, the funny thing is, you know, Microsoft did their 180, yet, you know, the undertones are still there.
It is where everything's going to go. You know, it's
well, yeah. And Sony clearly, you know, if you think Sony doesn't want to push an all digital future, you are sadly mistaken. Mm. They both see this as the future. And so many other companies see this as the future, and that's why we're seeing all of these devices becoming connected devices and operating in that fashion. It, you know, it's just going to be interesting to see who can truly capture the functionality, like Rich said, the functionality to where the average person is comfortable using it,
yeah.
and then the most hardcore avid user is also going to be fine using it. And I say that because a lot of the hardcore, they don't want it to feel casual. They want to feel like they have something very high tech. So it's a very interesting little balance they have to play with that. And this could be very well, you know, maybe this is their Trojan horse for Sony. It's kind of hard to say, but I like what they're doing with the PlayStation 4 piece of it, which with that sling box ability of throwing it to a different TV in the house and still maintaining control. And I just hope that maintaining control, that part of that function is lag free. It is crisp and feels good. Because that's, I think, going to be the success for this piece.
And just think what will happen when Apple buy Nintendo and they call it the same idea.
It's going to be crazy, 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 crazy. Crazy talk. Alright, that does it for the news headlines, unless you guys have anything else you want to throw in last minute.
Not really. GTA comes out next week. That's pretty much all
yeah,
I care
that's,
about.
That's like the gorilla sitting behind the scenes. It's just kind of looking down at everything saying, yeah, whatever's happening now, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Alright, Rich, you have a song that you were promoting to me saying this needs to be our show break song.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yes, I have yet to download it, but
yeah.
I have the info. So
yeah.
That you should start hearing right about now.
Against all society, school was propriety. Used to raise my hand, but the teacher kept ignoring me. More concerned with the fifth level than the fifth grade. Street Fighter, Mario Kart, and Streets of Rage became the only place I learned to communicate. Now I'm all about these gold coins, selling all these power-ups, surviving off of mushrooms, and only trying to level up. Yeah. Now I walk in the malls and I appear honest, but they don't really know that my Metal Gear Solid hit A, B, or Robert, hit X, go to college. Points are the same as long as you beat the game. Life may suck, but nothing stays the same. Deuce for life, flip a token, make a change. I'm deranged, the people that see things the same. I see in full color, I just choose to be green. Hey, everything gets better. Color. finding somebody depicting on my soul. Addicted to the form, possessed by the glow. Never see the road, I'm already at my goal. I wish you were like me, I wish you could know that if you were like me, you'd never be alone. Restricted by my pain, pleasure comes in fortunes. Lonely are the brave whose heart is in a corset. I am just a portion of a living whole. That's why I devote this to every living soul. I don't need a brag, cause I am in control of every single fiber and every little bone. You're just a biter, a copy, a drone. This is an art piece, you make a song. Need no opinion, I'm thinking on my own. Take this as simple, revolution. I'm gone.
Hey, everything gets better. Whatever happened way back when, now it just don't matter.
That band, it's called Red, Gold, Green. Yeah, so basically I put out two, like, feeds. One was to Antonio Phillips, at Mr. Heavy Evil, because he likes Naruto, doesn't he? So one of the tracks on one of their tracks on their album makes references to Naruto through it. And then the next one came on, and that's the one that's just played, called Power Ups, and obviously it's got references to video games all over it. So I pinged that one out to you, Greg, and says, hey, you should play this on the podcast because it sounds, you know, it's gaming related. And then it's abbreviated, versions of each color. So it's RD for red, and then it's GLD for gold, and then GRN for green. And each one of them is one of the blokes in the band. And one of them's a black guy. They're from Washington DC, I think. One of them's a black guy. The other guy's, of Romanian descent, and that's the guy that I was chatting to on Twitter, and another guy, and basically he was saying, oh yeah, I'm glad you like that, we're just shooting the video for that this week. And I'm like, oh, wicked.
So, excellent.
Yeah, and I says,
excellent,
if you ever come to Ross City, ping us, let us know, because I want to come and watch you. So yeah, they're like, yeah, they've got all different styles, but scary type rappy rocky goodness, like it. Yeah,
okay. All right. This part of the show is going to go real fast, guys, because we don't really have any feedback, which, you know, hey, we have our Ask Anything thread.
Okay.
Which means we need you guys to start talking to us. You know, ask us anything.
Do that.
To be fair, I was getting a lot of feedback on Twitter this week about games and stuff I should get for PS3, you know, because I was asking about that last week. So, yeah. But we need them pinging to us so we can talk about them on the podcast, don't we?
Yes. So here's the question we're going to throw up for next week. All right. And there's going to be a little contest attached to this, in that, we want you to give us your one most favorite arcade download game. So in other words, a PSN game or an Xbox Live game, give us the one that you would throw out there. You would hold up and say, this is the best game to come through either the PSN or Xbox Live Arcade system. Not a full retail released game. Mm. It has to be an arcade title. So $20 or under. What is your one shining example of this is the best game? And throw that over to us. You can send it to us on Twitter, or you can send it to us in email form. But you need to send it to us. And then what we'll do is we'll put you into a little drawing. And courtesy of Denver J, we have a little code. Now, this is a Microsoft code for some cash to go into your account.
Boom, cash. Cold hard cash, Greg.
Cold hard cash. It's a little, you know, it's not, we're not talking major bucks here. We're talking, you know, a $3 little giveaway code. But hey, exactly. So that $5 arcade game, that $10 arcade game you're looking at is now $2. It's now $7. So anyway, and that's just, you know, icing on the cake to our conversation about your choice of favorite game, because surely it will not be as good as a game we might throw out there. Like, I might potentially be throwing up Iron Brigade. That would be one that I would throw out there. I loved that game. One of my favorites.
Well, somebody had to.
Not necessarily my favorite. I'm just trying to give some examples here.
Right.
I know some people loved Limbo. Was that an example of the best?
I'll give an example, because I don't think anybody else would go for it, but it's probably the most fun I've had playing an Xbox Live Arcade game, because all of my kids got involved in it and we all loved it. Death Spank.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
That's back, yeah.
Yeah.
So think hard. Give us the one game you hold head and shoulders above all else. I suppose I should say the Twitter and all that good stuff. You can send us at OC Podcast.
At OC underscore podcast, Mr. Gregory.
Come on, Greg.
It's been a week, man. It's been a week. Or you can email us, ocpodcast@gmail.com, send us either or. And, we'll put you into the drawing bowl and see who comes out. But we will talk about everybody's entries. So, we'll at least get that discussion going. Now, more importantly, happenings and play dates and all that good stuff. In terms of play dates, I don't think there's much going on. We're still kind of coming out of the summer doldrums. I know I've seen some Halo, game nights pop up out of the blue, but I haven't seen anything actually scheduled up on the event calendar for Gate. But I'll also throw this out there. Gate is going through some back end changes. So they're going to be revamping the site. So keep your eye on the site. In the coming weeks, it should be switching out and changing up a little bit. So that could be kind of exciting. We do have some birthdays, and we do have some new members. So birthdays, just one birthday this week. Spitfire Ian.
Hey.
Big happy birthday to
Spitfire Ian. Happy
birthday,
Ian.
Yeah.
Congratulations on being born the best month ever.
Have some good old-fashioned real ale on me, mate. Because he lives in a great beer-making area.
Does he now?
Yeah.
Okay. We do have some new members to the site, guys.
Sweet.
We've got, and I apologize if I say any of these incorrectly, but
the name now.
Alina Gant.
Oh, yeah.
Gondorian Knight. And my favorite, I think, I Am That Gamer. Yeah,
cool.
I Am That Gamer.
Welcome,
which makes me think.
Yeah.
Yes, welcome to the Gate. And I Am That Gamer. I'm wondering, is he doing that saying like, I am that gamer, I am that guy that you get annoyed by, or is it, I am that gamer, the one that you want to be like? I don't know. Probably reading way too much into it. Victories achieved this week. We had one victory achieved this week, and that was Lewis Danson 22 finished Assassin's Creed 3. So remember, you can submit your victories achieved simply by taking a picture of your head, preferably the front of your head, your face, along with the end credits or a final achievement on display on the television screen or game screen of the device you achieved it on. And then you simply tweet that picture along with your victory achieved announcement to @g4te.com, spell the dot. And Mr. Shinyverse is in charge of all of that, and he is taking names all the way up until October 31st, in which time they will announce this quarter's winner, and some kind of cool prize will be given away.
Oh, yeah, but just 514 as well.
Another
game.
It's not that good. Oh. I know Shinyverse loves Dust 514. I honestly, yeah, no.
Oh, yeah, bad things.
It's just there's better shooters out there. My personal opinion, I'd rather play Battlefield 3 versus Dust 514. Even if I had to pay for Battlefield 3.
Yeah, but are you in the Dark Souls 2 beta?
That I am not. Rich, I hope you are, because that will excite you to no end. All right. It's time we kind of bring this to a bubble, a head. Time to finish the show, guys.
All right.
iTunes reviews. Please give us iTunes reviews.
Yes, we have love them.
Yeah, we do want them. It just helps us get seen by other people. As we mentioned, you can tweet Rich at @OC_podcast, and stealthily I may respond to you every once in a while, but usually it's Rich. You can email the podcast at ocpodcast@gmail.com, and you can listen to Rich give a shout-out right now.
Multiple shout-outs coming to Filthy, because he liked my mix on SoundCloud. Just like Greg likes iTunes reviews, I like likes on SoundCloud. And a little comment in the timeline, that would be great. Stu Leckie, I'm going to shout him out for Twitter action. Step J, for talking music and stuff. Sailor and I, another artist that was talking on Twitter. I like Twitter. It's good for talking to people that are in bands and stuff.
It's good to talk.
Yeah, we'll shout him out.
Good to talk. Virgin
Mary's, they're another band that we're talking back. So right. It's good to know that they're taking notice. And that gold guy out of Red, Gold, Green. Tuskin77 for pointing me in the direction of Sony. Although, even though I've got a PS3 now, all he's doing now is fucking relentlessly trying to get me to get a PS4. Not happening yet, mate. Not happening yet. You're going to have to wait. I've got a wife to think of. She'll divorce me. Yeah. And then.
And probably punch you.
Yeah, multiple times. Steffi Business and Iron Golem, because they were talking on Mojo Interactive and after Mojo Interactive on Twitter, and they agree with me that you should turn off the vibration on your controller because I don't like it. And by the way, I've got a newbie new
really?
Question for the Sony. No. Yeah, I don't like it.
Oh, I have a suggestion for you on your controller too. I meant to say this earlier.
Where's the battery? Where's the battery hatch?
There's no battery hatch, Rich.
What does that mean,
You have to plug it in to charge it.
Yeah, I know that, but rechargeable batteries run out. Do these last for ages, or do I have to buy a new controller?
No, they're pretty good. It's pretty good.
They're pretty good.
So actually, the good thing about the controller, apart from terrible, terrible shape.
Yeah? So on your triggers,
yeah,
look up, there are these little trigger extensions you can buy for like $2. Maybe they're $5 now because they've become popular. They attach to your triggers, and they actually give it a little lip.
Yeah.
So your fingers won't just slide off the triggers.
Yeah.
Because I hated the DualShock 3 controller triggers. So I had to get these little trigger extensions, and once I put those on, it made it far easier. And then just remember, for whatever dumb reason, Sony thought that for their controller – the main firing buttons were always going to be the shoulder buttons and not the triggers.
Weird.
Yeah, no, that's weird. Yeah. And then one last shout out. Denon, you know the people that make the hi-fis?
Yes.
I've been going on for ages, right, when I'm doing, because I'm downloading loads of music and stuff. I'm having the music player on the music player you get on your iPhone. That you can change the pitch of, so the speed of the track, and wind it up and down, and keep it in key. And you can't do that, because obviously it's a bit too advanced for having just music playing software. But Denon, the people that make the hi-fi, do a free app for your iPhone called Denon Pitch Control, and it's just a music player, and you can do everything you can do on your normal playlists, playing your music. Mm-hmm. But you can wind the pitch up and down and keep it in key. It's very, if anybody's out there, Fraser Moore's, you want that on your smartphone because it's cool. You can wind your tracks up and down pace-wise.
It's cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. Yeah, that's all me right. Done. Greg?
All right. I kind of have an un-shout-out. And this is for Dana White. Dana White, for those that don't know, he is the head guy for Ultimate Fighter. He's run the UFC and made it famous and huge, larger than life sports, competitive fighting sport now. And I love him for that. And I love the UFC and I love Ultimate Fighter. But through the growth of Ultimate Fighter, and I know this is going to sound very sexist, so bear with me. They have, you know, brought women in to the Ultimate Fighter. Okay. And Dana White, for the longest time, said, I will never have women fight in Ultimate Fighter. And he's come full circle. And he's like, no, there's some talented women. They're really good fighters. And I totally agree. These women, some of these women can seriously kick some ass.
Some booty.
But I don't like watching women fight.
Oh, I do. I think it's great.
Not this. There's the club fight out in front of the club where the
they grab the
chicks
ass,
are on the dance floor. Yeah, that's funny and kind of comical.
Best fight ever saw was the chicks fight. Best fight ever.
But watching these women in the ring, it just there's something about it. And again, it's not. I'm not trying to say they're not good fighters. I'm just saying I don't like watching women fighting. It's just an odd thing. And I don't mean to sound sexist because I fully believe there are women capable of kicking my ass three times to Sunday. And it's not that. It's, you know, I know they're capable of doing it. I don't like watching women fight. I don't want to see their faces bloodied. I don't want to see them looking sweaty and gross. I prefer to see them pretty.
I like getting beat up by women. I'd pay money for that.
Different story, Rich. Different story. But I will give a shout out to Denver J, to Jay Schumacher, and I believe also to Gary DeFleece. Jay, I could be wrong, but I believe all three of you have something in common, and that is you guys are all Denver fans. Jay, I could be wrong on you. I'm not positive, but I think you guys all are Denver fans. And Peyton Manning had a phenomenal opening night.
Yeah, it was great.
NFL, seven touchdowns. It was insane. And it makes me ill because he's on the team that I don't like.
Wow.
But I got to give props.
Respect.
Anyway. Yep, respect.
Respect to whoever the hell you're talking about.
I've got to shout Christopher Matthew out because he did that. Did you see that lip-syncing NFL video that he put up on Facebook?
No.
Oh, it's
funny. Oh, I saw that.
I might have to check that out
so
right now.
Funny. So funny.
Well, I'm going to check that out while Mike gives a shout-out.
I'm going to shout out my parents for buying me an iPad for my graduation. Thank you very much, Vic and Elaine. Also, I'm going to shout out Jeff Stelling from Sky Sports for being such a cool guy and working with him today. It's quite cool, even though I didn't really know who he was, but never mind. And what else? Just try and think. That'll do.
Okay. Well, I think that does it for this show. Thanks for tuning in, and I guess we will catch you guys next week. See ya.
Bye, everyone.
Ta-ta.
Did you get an iPad?
Yes, sorry, yeah, I missed that bit. Yeah, I got an iPad.
That would be an important piece to the puzzle.
Yeah. Kingdom Rush, you say.
Yeah.
Yes, I've heard things about this game. Good things. Things that you want to hear about a game.
Kingdom Rush.
That was one of the first games I played on the iPad. And played it.
What about
completion.
Okay.
Completion.
What?
Completion of a game on a mobile device.
$1.99.
What are you crying about? It's nothing. You probably sneezed $2 bills. Oh God, I'm tired. I'm hot. It's fucking hot out here. Holy shit. 90 degrees today. Sorry, yesterday was 90. Today, my bad. It's only 83.
Starting to cool down here now.
Yes.
That's why Greg said it.
It's getting colder in England at the moment now.
Yeah, it's getting colder here too. We're down to 82.
Yeah, fucking sucks that. Man. Might have to put a jacket on soon, Greg.
I would like, slap you if you try to put a jacket on me right now.
Might have to get a sleeping bag out.
Yeah, I think I'm actually dripping sweat as we're talking.
It is rough for you. It is rough.
I mean, think about it. 90 degrees, what is that? It's like 40 Celsius?
Yeah, that is ridiculous.
No, it's probably like 30 Celsius, but still. It's got to be in the mid-30s.
No, thanks. What is it? 90.
Like, yeah, 90 degrees.
32 degrees.
If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Real are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
People say.
Come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.